The reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 33 to 37. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made." But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot even make one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord.
So we're going to carry on our series in the Sermon on the Mount. And we're looking at oaths. But first, we're going to play a game. This is called Open or Delete. Okay, open or delete. So here is my inbox. I have an email from my boss, the Reverend Charlie Stiles. Is he trustworthy? Oh, what's he got to say? I don't know. Would I open it or delete it? What do you think I should do, everybody? Open it, you think? Sorry, what was this? Delete. Rebels over here in the corner. Oh dear. No, I think I'll open that one, or else am I getting a bit of trouble? I think I'll follow my boss's instructions. Right, but this one, Netflix. They want to add my phone number to the account, and I think I should click that button and add it. Do you think I should follow that, open it, or delete it? Well, considering I don't have a Netflix account, I think I probably should delete that. What about this one? Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, billionaire. He's emailing me because he wants to offer me some of his fortune. If only I would email him back, maybe give him my bank details. What do you think I should do, open or delete? I'm going to delete it because it's not trustworthy. And this is the question I want you to bear in mind today as we go through our passage together. Is Jesus trustworthy? When I was going through a time of real doubt and questioning my faith, I went to see my vicar and he said to me, "Cut through all the junk and just focus on Jesus. Is he who he says he is? Is he being honest? When he says something about himself, is he being truthful? Can I trust him? When I look at his life, when I look at what he says, do I trust him?" So this question, is Jesus trustworthy? Let's bear that in mind, because I think people in biblical times gathering around him on the mountain were believers. Not all of them were followers yet, anyway. Some of them were probably just intrigued. They heard about Jesus, maybe heard about the reputation, perhaps some of the things he'd done in different places, and they wanted to come and see him for themselves, hear him out, asking similar questions. Is he who he says he is? This long-awaited Messiah? Is he trustworthy and being truthful? So our questions are not too dissimilar to those who were originally hearing Jesus' words, the words of what has become known as the Sermon on the Mount. And we've been going through this series, haven't we? And Jesus doesn't pull any punches. He's pretty firm in what he says. And he starts to tackle real human issues, some that are public, like marriage and divorce, some that are hidden away in the secret places of human life, anger, lust. And now we get on to promises, oaths, vows, our speech. And so we're going to look at this short passage and try and explore it together. But is this just an ancient problem? Jesus, of course, was speaking thousands of years ago to a very different culture, and nowadays people would say that it's completely irrelevant. People, why bother going to church? Why bother? Is this just an ancient problem? I'm going to show you a couple of videos today, bit out of the ordinary for me and for this service, but do tune in and try and listen. This one has subtitles. It's from a sitcom called Friends. I don't know if you've heard of it, quite a famous sitcom. And Chandler finds himself in a situation. He's been on a date with a girl. She's loved it. Absolutely loved it. He, not so much. Let's see what he does. Just turn it up for me, please, well, Peter.
Thanks again for lunch.
Yes, this was pleasant.
It was, wasn't it?
The food there was great.
Wasn't it?
So take care.
You too.
Well, this was great. I'll give you a call. We should do it again sometime.
Great. I'm looking forward to it. Rachel, any messages?
Sophie's desk. Chandler! Are you going to call her?
No.
Chandler!
Look, I'm sorry, okay? I'm weak and pathetic and sorry.
You see, Chandler finds himself in a situation, an awkward situation, and he wants to get out of it. So what does he do? To try and take the easy way out, he comes up with this formula that's tried and tested. He says, oh, I've had a lovely time, I'll call you again sometime. And is he going to call her? No. He's breaking his promise, breaking his word, empty words, taking the easy way out of a situation. And I don't know if you've ever heard someone compare the sitcom Friends to the Bible, but get ready, I'm about to do it, because I don't think it's too dissimilar to what's going on in Scripture. People in biblical times, in Jesus' era, had to make promises sometimes. But the ones they had to keep were the ones they made by God's name, God's holy name. And it meant something. They had to follow through on that. Especially with those that were trying to keep the Jews following the law. So, because that's quite hard work to keep those promises, people started coming up with formulas that weren't so binding. So they stopped promising by God's name and started promising by heaven, because that's just a bit of a step away, isn't it? Or by Jerusalem, or even by their own head, those grey hairs, those black hairs, as I mentioned earlier. They used to make lavish promises that sounded genuine, but actually it was just empty words. A tendency to take the easy way out, using a formula that's tried and tested, but really leaves us feeling empty. But is it just an ancient problem? Have you ever heard this nowadays? I swear on my life that I will do that. Ever heard someone say that?
Yeah.
Or I swear on so-and-so's grave. You heard that? I don't like that one. Or have you ever said this yourself? I will be thinking of you this week. And then you've not actually thought of them. Even if you had a really good intention. What about this holy one that we say in church? I will be praying for you. I know I fall into the trap of saying that, meaning it even. But they're not following through on that promise. Empty words. Taking the easy way out of a situation sometimes. Especially for finding a conversation difficult to deal with. What can we say to get out of it? It's not just an ancient problem. Jesus' words still apply to us today. And if that's true then, and this resonates with us, and we're not just being dismissive of Jesus' words, then let me take you deeper into what Jesus is saying to us today. Looking at a deeper problem that Jesus... I think, this is my proposal, as humanity, we have some real trust issues with other people and with ourselves. Now, this next video is from Harry Potter. I will warn you, some people don't like Harry Potter, but it helps illustrate my point really well, so I'm going to use it anyway. Here we go.
I can't change the Dark Lord's mind. But it might be possible for me to help Draco.
Severus, swear to it. Make the unbreakable vow. It's just empty words. He'll give it his best. When it matters most,
home. Coward.
Take out your wand.
Snape finds himself in a situation where he promises to help someone, but his words aren't believed. He has a reputation for perhaps not following through. And if you know the story of Harry Potter, you will realise why. Double agent. So he has to make an unbreakable vow, put his life on the line to prove that he will follow through on his promise. How similar is that for us today? Do we have any modern-day examples of different things like this? Perhaps in the public eye, politicians, maybe, perhaps celebrities offering a lavish lifestyle if you just buy this new product. Perhaps at work or in our voluntary organisations, people are offering help for the stress they were under, but no help arrives. Promotions, but that doesn't come. Perhaps in our private life, we have been left disappointed as people fail to keep their promises, to keep their vows, to keep their oaths. And that hurts others. And the real challenging question is, how many of us have failed those we love? By being unreliable, by not following through on our word. Some commentators, including the evangelist Michael Green, would say that humanity is naturally untrustworthy. That's quite hard to digest, isn't it? We try. But time and time again, as revealed in Scripture, as revealed in lived experience, we can't always live up to our promises. So I think Jesus actually offers us two ways forward. After exposing the hearts of mankind, humankind, after leaving us feeling a little bit vulnerable, after leaving us feeling like this is resonating, even still in 2020, he offers us a couple of ways forward. What does Jesus ask for? Well, firstly, don't compartmentalize God. Don't just say, like they were doing back in the day, well, if I don't swear by God's name, then he won't hear me, or he won't see this. Jesus is trying to point out that God is all in all. Open your eyes, see God as you walk through life in every aspect of our days. Pay attention, because God... He also is asking for simplicity of speech. I don't know about you, but sometimes I find Jesus' parables quite hard to remember and quite difficult to understand. Sometimes his sayings, I can't quite remember. Some people have to put them to songs for me to remember them. But actually, Jesus has a saying in this passage that's quite easy to remember. Why don't you repeat this after me? Help us remember it. Yes.
Yes.
Or no. Yeah. Yes or no. Quite easy to remember, isn't it? Simple things. But actually, he wants us to couple it with integrity in speech. That when we simplify our language, we need to actually still follow through on that. If we want to be a follower of God, live in God's kingdom, and if we want to be his representative here on earth, do we have integrity in our simplistic speech? Do we honor him in the way that we live our lives and treat other people? Perhaps this is the moral teaching that Jesus is giving us, some very practical things for us to try and include in our life. But more than that, I think he's inviting us to look at him and ask this question I proposed to you at the beginning. Is he trustworthy? Matthew, who wrote this gospel, wants you to believe that he is. Time and time again, he writes that Jesus does something in his ministry, for example, in chapter 4, verse 14, to fulfill what has been said through the prophet, someone like Isaiah, numerous times in Matthew's gospel. He's pointing out that God has made promises in the Old Testament, promises about his people, about his creation, all about their future, about their destiny, but that no one else is able to keep them other than Jesus, other than his chosen faithful, by Jesus' life, by Jesus' teaching, that he is trustworthy. And that's our invitation today. Our invitation to open or delete, so to speak. An invitation to you, if you are still exploring the Christian faith, to do what those original hearers did. To come and give Jesus due time and attention, to hear him out. To perhaps nowadays that means opening the Bible and reading about his life. Perhaps that means asking your questions to those that are a bit further down the Christian walk than you are. You have an invitation to look at the promise keeper, Jesus, the true oath keeper. To ask your question, is he trustworthy? Could I follow him? And if we've been journeying with Jesus for a while, been coming to church, been serving, we're growing in maturity in our faith, I think the invitation is slightly different. I think it is for Jesus' words to unsettle us, to shake us out of our comfort zone. It's easy, isn't it, to read the Sermon on the Mount, one of the most famous passages in the Bible, and go, oh, I've read this before, I know it really well, and miss the point. Go out the next day or even half an hour later and do the opposite to what Jesus was saying and advising and teaching. So will we, those that are already walking with Christ, be shaken out of our comfort zone, be challenged by Jesus' words afresh, asking him, Lord, I believe you're trustworthy. What will you teach me today? By your word. By your Spirit, what will you teach me? I'm willing to change my speech, my heart, my motives. That's the invitation that's proposed to us today. To give Jesus a hearing for the first time, or to allow his word to truly transform us again. Take it or leave it, open or delete it. But let's take time to consider it right now. Shall we pray? Father God, thank you that you are generous and you are faithful. And you are faithful by sending your Son to fulfill all of your promises to us. Thank you that as we look at Jesus' life, we can know you. Know your nature as trustworthy. Help us as we have delved into your word to not just run away from the things that have resonated with us, the things that have challenged us, exposed us, but Lord, meet us in your mercy and grace. Help us deal with them. Help us to learn from you. Lord, help us to say a simple yes to you for the first time, or a yes again. Say, yes, I will follow you. Live my life wholeheartedly for you. Amen.